The hotel room was dingy and had an odd smell. There was a brass double bed whose counterpane sagged in the middle. The floral wallpaper was faded, with rust-edged stains. Two long windows looked out into the street. Wallace went across to them. The window opposite had dried up plants and dirty curtains. She had not expected Paris to look like this. All the way over on the boat from Dover, she had imagined views of the Eiffel Tower. But Wallace was an optimist, and never more so than now. This was her wedding day, a fresh start, a new life. There was a mirror on the wall by the window, positioned to throw light on the face. Critically, she examined hers. She was no longer young, 34 at her last birthday, but she looked pretty good, she thought. Poised, sleek, fashionable, and hopeful most of all. Her wedding outfit, primrose yellow dress, sky blue coat, made a colourful contrast to the glossy black hair, centre parted and curled into earphones. In her pale face, her lips were a bold slash of red. If in her dark blue eyes there was still something sad behind the sparkle, that would not stay long. Everything would be fine from now on. They had married that morning in London at the Chelsea Register Office, as both had been divorced. But Wallace did not regret being unable to wed in a church. She had done that the first time around, and to a cad. Ernest could not be more different. He was a fine, kind, honourable man, and she was a lucky woman. A movement in the mirror caught her eye. She saw that the bellhop who had brought their bags up was still standing in the doorway, scratching himself. "Ernest," she prompted, smiling. "I think he expects a tip." Her new husband rummaged in his overcoat pocket and handed over a small coin. The boy looked at it, raised his eyebrows and disappeared. Wallace heaved her suitcase onto her bed and snapped the locks open. In the dingy surroundings, her dresses, new for the honeymoon, bolstered her feelings of optimism. She had bought them all for a song and altered them herself. She was clever with her needle and had once thought of a career in fashion. After the divorce, the idea of supporting herself, of becoming an independent woman, had strongly appealed. But her shattered self-confidence and her lack of practical skills had made this more difficult than she expected. And once she met Ernest, she had abandoned the effort altogether. He had been a port in a storm, quite literally, as his family owned a shipping firm. When he announced he was leaving America for the London office and asked her to marry him and come too, she had seized the chance to begin again. She shook out a dress and thought about the great Paris fashion houses. She was keen to see them, even if there was no chance of buying anything. Money was tight, hence the shabby hotel room. Hence the tiny stone in the ring on her finger, so small it struggled to catch the limited light. The family firm was in trouble, although Ernest was determined to turn it round. There were also the alimony payments to his first wife and young daughter. He had thought that would annoy her, but it didn't. On the contrary, she was pleased that he already had a child. She was in her early 30s and the prospect was fading. But after her own miserable childhood, she had no wish for one anyway. She felt sorry for her little stepdaughter, whose life had been upended by her parents' divorce. When Audrey came to stay with them in London, Wallace would give her a good time. They would be friends. She felt Ernest's solid, reassuring presence behind her. He came close and put his large hands over hers. She leaned her head back into his chest and relished, for a few moments, his tall broadness, the feeling of utter safety, of being cherished and protected. "Don't do that now," he murmured into her shoulder. He meant the open case before her. "But I have to unpack. My things will be so creased." The cheap material needed to be hung to look good. He pulled her closer. His moustache was tickling her neck. "Who cares if your things are creased? I'd like to crease them some more." Her reaction was as instant as it was unexpected. Panic swept through her like a tidal wave. An alarm bell shrilled loudly in her head, and her heart rose in her throat, banging violently.